Have your Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to find your place with me in the book of Psalms. Psalms in the 119th chapter. Psalms 119. We've been looking over the last several weeks into our souls. The Morse code, universal code of distress, SOS, save our souls. And shared this morning already that we need strength for our souls. I have tried to in a very amateur way to try to take care of myself, try to do a little exercise, all those kind of things. And I read some articles from time to time about our health and my health and what I'm supposed to do. And over the last several years, I've read a lot about core strength, about core exercises. And so I've tried to implement some of that into my exercise routine in a very shallow way, I should say. But nevertheless, it's one of those things where you know what you should do, but you just don't always do it, you know? Doing crunches and doing planks and doing core workout is not near as fun as eating banana pudding, so that's kind of where I gravitate to, you know. It's like, well, I did 30 seconds of that, I can do 3 minutes of eating, you know. So that's kind of how we all are. But I have found in my spiritual walk that there is an importance in core strength. And when we think about in our spiritual life, when we think about core strength, we really think about our soul. That's the core of who we are. That's where our mind, our will, our heart, all of those things, that's where all of that is connected. It's in our soul. It's our inner being. It's who we really are. It's that part of us that will exist eternally with God or in hell, depending on our choices. And so it's important that we be strong in our core, that we be strong in our soul. And I know that that's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me, at least, okay? Maybe you've mastered it. I'm still working on it, okay? I'm still a little weak there. And so I'm challenged to strengthen my core, to strengthen my soul. And I'm encouraged a little bit because I know that David, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And even David struggled at his core. David struggled. He was weak at times. And so here's a passage in Psalms 119 in verse 25. Listen to this. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Our spiritual core is important that we strengthen that. Paul in his preaching in Acts chapter 14 says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Paul made it a practice of his preaching that when he went into cities to preach the gospel, to strengthen the souls of individuals. To strengthen souls of individuals so that they could withstand the trials and the tribulations of life. I wish that I could tell Josh this morning that when you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you walk in obedience to Christ and follow in baptism, hey, from here on out, life is easy. There's no more problems. There's no more interruptions. There's no more trials. There's no more hardships. But I'd be preaching a lie, wouldn't I, Mike? I'm telling you, man. Listen, sometimes it's when you get saved that life gets the hardest. Listen, the devil doesn't attack you when you're on his team. It's when you get on the Lord's team that you really get attacked by the devil. And life can sometimes be more difficult as a child of God than it is when you're not a child of God. And so I've come this morning to help you strengthen your soul. Now, last week we discovered about our soul, that our soul searches for God, that our soul finds satisfaction in God, that our soul searches for strength and safety. And so I want to kind of pick up there this morning. Remember last week we talked about the fact that our soul searches for God. In this passage here, it's the cry of your soul. David says in verse 25, or the psalmist says here in verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." He says again there in verse 28, "My soul melts from heaviness." Do you hear the cry of that soul? The psalmist is not just kind of mealy-mouthing around. I mean, he's crying out in desperation. One writer noted this about the psalm. He says, "As I dive into these verses, I fully expect to also cry. Oh, the depths." You know, that's one of the things about the Psalms. I love reading through the Psalms because the Psalms deal with real life. Man, you see David crying out. You see the psalmist crying out in desperation. It's just not all good stuff, you know. He confronts the realities of life. He doesn't play like everything's okay. He acknowledges that life is difficult. He acknowledges, "My soul is thirsty." He acknowledges, "My soul is depleted." He acknowledges that my soul needs refreshing. Can I get a witness this morning? Come on. Really? I mean, listen, we've all been there, right? We've all been there. We're not that spiritual that we've just got everything, you know, all fine and hunky-dory. I don't know if that's a Greek word or a Hebrew word, but it's a good word anyway. And, you know, we just act like life's all fine and hunky-dory when we come to church. Well, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm just blessed by the best. Well, yeah, well, guess what? You've been just, you know, wallowing in it all week. And so, listen, we come before God today. We cry out. Man, our soul cries. Listen, babies cry for what they want, what they need. It's their means of communication. And our soul cries for the strength of God. Listen, your brain may seek wisdom, and your heart may seek love, and your reputation may seek a good name. Your pride may seek fame and fortunes and all those kind of things. I said last week, my appetite craves banana pudding. But my body says, "No, what you need is fruits and vegetables." In our spiritual life, there are those things in our life that crave the things of this world. But the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit says, "No, what your soul really needs is strength from God." So in my physical life, when I say, "Man, what I really want is some banana pudding," God puts this voice, not the Holy Spirit, but Holy Rhonda. And she says, "No, what you need is a salad." You know, I don't know why, but it just happens that way, right? And so our spirit really needs strength of God. The psalmist says in Psalms 138, verse 3, "In the day when I cried out, you answered. It made me bold," listen to this, "with strength in my soul." Strength in my soul. That inner man. Listen, I'm not sure what you think you need this morning. I don't know what you think your soul might need this morning, but I'm here to tell you, according to the Word of God, what your soul needs this morning is strength of God. It needs to tap into the strength of God this morning. And the reason that your soul needs this strength of God is because of the condition of your soul. Your soul is crying out because of the condition of your soul. The psalmist says, "My soul melts from heaviness." That word "melt," it speaks of a person, of his soul, of his heart, of his feelings. It means to be overwhelmed with dismay or grief. Max Lucado tells a story in his book titled "The Eye of the Storm." He tells the story of Chippy the parakeet. And he says, you know, Chippy the parakeet said he never saw it coming. Chippy the parakeet was in his cage one day, and he was just chirping away, and life was grand. And that was the day that Chippy's owner decided that it was time to clean out Chippy's cage. And Chippy's owner decided that the quickest, easiest, most efficient way to clean out his cage was with a vacuum cleaner. And so the owner came in there with a little vacuum cleaner to vacuum out Chippy's cage, and the phone rang, and they turned away to answer the phone and didn't realize, and they had sucked little Chippy up. Realizing what had happened, they immediately turned the vacuum cleaner off, opened it up, dug Chippy out of all the dust, you know. And now here's Chippy all covered in dust, and he's kind of bewildered. And the owner decides, well, the best way to clean him off is to run him underwater, right? And so then the owner runs little Chippy under the water, drowns him nearly, you know, and then realizes, well, Chippy is wet and cold and shivery. The best way to resolve that is to turn the hairdryer on. So little Chippy's like wondering, what in the world has happened to me? I don't know how Chippy felt when all that happened to him, but I know exactly how I felt when it happened to me. I got sucked up, drowned, and blown away. And my soul melted within me. The psalmist says in Psalms 107, verse 26, they mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of troubles. We've all been there. We've all faced those troubles. We've all faced those difficult times. And so the psalmist here cries out, strengthen me. And here's where I want us to kind of land this morning. Really on the conditioning of the soul. The conditioning of the soul. He says, strengthen me. Obviously, when anyone is melting under pressure, they're weak. And it's at this precise moment of weakness when we realize that we are melting under the heaviness, that we really discover God's strength. For it's when we realize that we aren't strong enough to bear up on our own that we finally turn to God. Isn't that what we do? As long as we think we're big enough, bad enough, strong enough, bold enough, we just go it alone, don't we? But it's not until our souls melt within us and we're heavy of heart that we realize, man, I need the strength of God in my soul. And so the psalmist cries out, strengthen me, Lord. Now, it's interesting, this word, strengthen me. It's not that the psalmist just says, Lord, make me strong. But he says, Lord, strengthen me. As there is a process that he is willing to undertake. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul cried out. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for thy strength is made perfect in weakness. God kind of puts it this way. In Psalms 89 and verse 16, he says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and our horn shall be exalted. It's in our weakness that we acknowledge that we need God, and God strengthens us then for his glory and for his honor, for our enablement to help us through that. And so the psalmist says, strengthen me according, notice, he says, strengthen me according to your word. Now, this expression, according unto your word, he knows that the power that he is needing is found through God's words. God's words are powerful. Listen, words create. Go back to Genesis 1 and 2. The Bible says, God spoke and there was light. God spoke, there was form. God spoke. Words have power. And the psalmist says, Lord, I need to be strengthened according to your word. According to your word. If your prayer, listen, if your prayer is according to God's word, God is obligated himself to answer. I know sometimes when we pray, and I've done this, you know, you pray and you quote Bible verses. And sometimes I think, I don't know why I'm quoting a Bible verse. God wrote it. He knows what it says. But it's an exercise of reminding me of God's word. And it aligns me with God's word. And therefore I find strength according to God's word. It's as though God is speaking those verses back to me to say, look, I'm making you this promise. You see, the implication is you have to saturate yourself then in God's word in order to know those promises. Sometimes God's made us promises and we don't even know it because we've never taken the scripture and read it to find out what those promises are. Now guys, some of you, probably the minority of you, are guilty of taking a product and putting it together without reading the instructions, right? Most of us, knowledgeable men, we buy things, and the first thing we do is, honey, let's get the instructions, and let's sit down and read these together, right? That's not how it happens, is it? Now, we treat God's word the same way. We get into life, and we try to make life, we try to build a life outside of the instructions of God's word. And had we taken the time to read God's word, we would have known how it was supposed to work. So that's why it's important that we spend time in God's word. Now, I know what some of you are saying because I've said, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have 15 minutes in the day. Guess what? You got the same 24 hours I do. All you need to do is set your alarm clock for 15 minutes earlier. Guess what? All of a sudden, you got 15 more minutes in the day. Isn't that amazing how that works? Now listen, I want to encourage you. So for the last 20 plus years, I've had the good fortune of being able to have the time and my job to be able to read a lot of scripture. I understand that, okay? And I've tried to discipline myself to read through the scriptures every year. But it's not that you have to read it from cover to cover, okay? But what it is you need to expose yourself to God's word. Here's a little tool. And if you don't get this, you can come ask me after church and I'll tell it to you again. There's a really incredible Bible app. It's called the YouVersion, Y-O-U version. Okay? It's a YouVersion. It's a free app. And it's got just a whole plethora of Bible translations in it. It's got Bible plans you can read. But one of the neat things about it is every day it has a verse of the day. And it has a video that goes with it. And it'll have some different person every day that will read that verse and they will share a little bit of their insight into that verse. There's a good start right there. You don't even know how to read to do that, you know? You can just listen. And you can have a verse read to you. You can listen to it. They have explain it a little bit, and you can gain from that, okay? What I'm trying to tell you is this morning, you have to take God's word, and you have to infiltrate it into your life. Spend some time with God's word. It's in God's word that you gain strength. Listen, there's a lot of things that happen in our life, and I read the scripture, and I think, oh, well, that's good. I was reading just day before yesterday, or maybe the day before that, and I was reading through some of those minor prophets over there in the back of the Old Testament, you know, where the pages are stuck together because we don't ever read those. And I was reading over there in Zephaniah, and he was talking about the wrath of God. And so I was reading a little bit of Old Testament, and I read a little bit of New Testament. So my New Testament reading right now, because I'm kind of getting close to the end of the year, I was in Revelation. And so I'm reading about, you know, all those things. And so I read through all of that, and I thought, "Woo, Lord, I'm blessed this morning. I've just read all about the wrath of God, destruction, and all those kind of things, you know." And I thought, what do I do with this? And I went back and I started scanning through. And I found a verse. And it said, "Blessed are the people of God, for God is with you." And so I went back and I looked. I'd read through about four chapters that morning. And I went back and I scanned through. There was not one positive thing in four chapters except for that one verse. It's the only verse where the word blessed was found. And I write in a journal. I try to write every day to try to help me. If I can't write it down, I've probably not ingrained it very much. So I try to write it. So I wrote in my journal. If I read the newspaper today, if I look at the news today, man, I find out all of the bad stuff that's going on. But blessed are the people of God, for God is with me. Hey, I can take this. I can make it through this. And it was a good word for a soul that might be troubled, to know that in the midst of all the trouble, no matter what you're going through this morning, what I want you to know is if you're a child of God, God is with you. God's got you. God's got this. It's going to be okay. Amen? Amen. And so we have to pray God's word. We read God's word. We stay in God's word. Because we know that God will not do anything contrary to His word. The Bible says that God will not, God cannot lie. God will honor His word and strengthen us. And so this request, it echoes the scriptures. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures here. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for Yah. It's a Hebrew word for Elohim. It says, for Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. He's everlasting strength. That means that His strength will never fade. His strength will never fail. God doesn't have to do rolling blackouts when troubles are widespread. Amen? I mean, His strength is everlasting. Isaiah 40 in verse 29, He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Listen to this. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so God's given us this promise that He will take us, He will keep us, He will help us. Now, I want you to notice that little phrase there in that last verse. He says, yes, I will help you. Now hang on. I don't want to lose you this morning. Okay? Stay with me. When we're weak and nothing seems to help us, like a fresh supply of energy, God promises us that He'll come along beside us and He'll help us. But notice that. I will help you. The implication is that you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to put forth some effort. That's why the psalmist is praying, Lord, strengthen me. God, help me to bear up under this time. We love this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Tim Tebow used to put this on the blackout under his eyes. He got Googled by millions of people because they wanted to know, what does that verse mean? That verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we know the Bible says that apart from God, we can do what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But we also know that through Christ, we can do what? All things. But notice what that passage says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not that Christ is going to do through me. It's that I'm going to do through Christ. And so that little phrase, I can do, the implication is, again, that I am doing something, that I am working, I am putting forth an effort, I'm engaged, okay? Now get this. I don't like it either. I didn't like it when I was studying, okay? But it's true. It's true, okay? Ian Bounds said this. Ian Bounds says, the pleading soul must be aroused to effort by God's silence. This Christian life that we live is not easy. And our soul is not strengthened by us coming and sitting on a padded chair on Sunday mornings. Our soul is strengthened when through Christ we engage the enemy and we face the trials and we face the tribulations and we, through Christ, overcome those things. It's not that we sit back passively and just let God pour out strength on us. You can't go to the weight room. I see guys do this all the time. They come to the weight room and they sit around on the benches and they talk about things. And I'm thinking, there's 200 pounds of weight sitting behind you and they're sitting on the end of the bench press talking. And they'll get up and they'll get their towel and they'll wipe their brow and they'll walk over to the curling machine and they'll sit on the curling bench and they'll sit over there and they'll talk a while. And then they'll get up and they'll go to the next machine and they'll go to the next machine and they walk out and think, whew, and I really worked out today. If you don't pick up the weight, you'll never get any stronger. Right? But there's this guy that's called a spotter. And you'll get over there on that bench press and depending on who you are, just, you know, me for an example, you'll get on a bench press and you'll sit down, you'll get about 450 on there. I started not to say that, but you'll get about 100. You know, the bad thing about getting a spotter when you got 100 pounds on there, it says a lot about you, you know. But anyway, you'll get some weights on there and you'll have a spotter just in case you can't lift. Just in case you can't lift it. God comes along. He comes along beside us. Man, when life gets heavy, when life gets overwhelming, when life is more than we can bear, He says, I will come and I will help you. And through that process, you get stronger and you get stronger. And you get stronger, and your soul is strengthened. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 says, and may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, after you've put up forth the effort, after you've worked through it, after your faith has been exercised, you'll be perfect, established, strengthen, and He'll settle. And He'll settle you. Again, I know how you feel. I don't like it. When I'm out there running, sometimes I have to remind myself, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Hey, if soul strength was easy, we would all be strong in our souls. Amen? See, it's not easy. It's difficult. It's a challenge. There's an old African proverb that says, smooth seas do not make a skillful sailor. Smooth seas do not make a skillful sailor. An easy life doesn't make a strong Christian. An easy life doesn't make a strong soul. Spurgeon says, notes here that the psalmist doesn't ask to have the trouble removed, but he prays, help me to bear it. Help me to bear it. See, whenever there's a thing that's hard, and the right way to get through it sometimes is just to get through it, right? And sometimes when something that we come up against in life is hard, the way to get through it is to put something harder in front of it. And that is the grace and the strength of God that gives us that supply. He says, strengthen me to do the duties that You've called me to. Strengthen me to resist the temptations. Strengthen me to bear up under the burdens. All the psalmist wanted was strength to keep on living for the Lord, magnifying His word. And he discovered that God's grace was indeed all that he needed. Friend, this morning, all that you need is in Christ Jesus. I know it's hard. And I know it's difficult. I know life can be overwhelming. But we have a God who's an overwhelming God. We have a God who is mighty and strong to save. Listen, when we find ourselves pressured by the enemy, our first response is usually to pray that God would change the enemy or that God would destroy the enemy. When maybe this morning we need to change our prayer, God, give me strength to overcome the enemy. God, give me strength to persevere through the situation. God, give me grace and give me strength to have strong faith, to believe that God, that you can, and to believe God, that you will. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Did you hear that? Our inward man is being renewed. Our inward man is being strengthened day by day. A few weeks back, I shared with you my prayer, Paul's prayer out of Ephesians chapter 1. There was two prayers in Ephesians. One's in Ephesians chapter 1, one's in Ephesians chapter 3. In the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed this. He said, I pray that God, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. My prayer for you this morning is that God would strengthen you in your inner man. That God would strengthen your core. That God would strengthen your soul. Amen. This morning, I want to ask you to bow with me today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nothing magical about bowing your head or closing your eyes. It's just to take a moment this morning to take your eyes off of me and put your eyes on Jesus, please. It's a moment to just kind of withdraw within yourself and allow God to speak. This morning, life got you down? Life overwhelming? I want to pray for you this morning. And so this morning I'm going to invite you to come. I invite you to just make your way this morning right now. Just to come to this altar. If you can make your way here and just bow here at this altar. If you want to come and just sit on this front row. I want you to come this morning. Say, God, strengthen me today. And I want to pray for you. Would you come? Without waiting, without hesitating, just come this morning. Would that be your prayer? Would that be your concern? Would that be your desire this morning? God, strengthen me. It's not easy, God. God, I need your strength today. Folks are coming. Would you come? Father, this morning, we come and we humble ourselves before you. God, to bow in honor of who you are. But God, also to bow in submission. God, to surrender. God, to acknowledge that we can't do it of our own. God, we need your help today. God, I know there are some this morning, God, that didn't even have the physical or spiritual strength to get up from where they sit. But their hearts are so overwhelmed. God, this morning I pray, God, that you would strengthen them in their inner man. God, this morning I pray that you would strengthen their souls today. God, that their faith would grow. God, that they would be able to bear up and to persevere through the challenges that they face. God, I pray this morning, God, that you would come down from heaven God, rend them out and shake the world. God, that the world might know that you're alive and on the throne. God, today, that your strength might be seen. Oh, God, this morning, strengthen our souls today, Lord. God, I ask you that you would heal. God, I ask you this morning that you would comfort. God, I ask you this morning that you would give wisdom and discernment. God, I ask you this morning that you would give deliverance. God, that you would open a way. God, I pray this morning, God, that you would lift the spirits and strengthen the souls. God, this morning, I'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, we love you this morning. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 This morning, in our time of invitation, God's spoken into your heart today. Maybe this morning, for the first time, you realize there's a God who loves you. God who wants to give you strength. A God who wants to rescue you, restore your soul. This morning, would you just simply come to Christ? And you might say, well, preacher, I don't even know what that means. All I know is that I need it. Hey, we've got folks that'll come and pray along beside you that'll help you to know what it is to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. So would you just simply come this morning? Maybe this morning your church membership is somewhere else. And we'd love to have you come be a part of what God's doing right here at Trinity. We invite you to come today. Maybe this morning you want to just come and continue to pray today. Would you come this morning? As we stand, Brother Colin's going to lead us into a hymn of invitation. Would you come right now? Without waiting, would you come today?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well.
From 3:30 to 5 o'clock, we'll be out here at the portico. We'll be passing out hot dogs and s'mores and just trying to share with our community that we love them and that we care about them. And so come and be a part of that this afternoon and help us to love on our community. Also, just be mindful of other things that are coming on, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering and kickoff is coming up on November the 14th. And then on November the 21st, that is the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving, that is going to be our church-wide Thanksgiving meal. So that's going to be a really, really special day here. We're going to have the Lord's Supper that morning in our morning service time. And then we're all going to gather in the Family Life Center. We're going to have a Thanksgiving meal together. And then that'll be our last service for the week that week. And you'll be free to celebrate with your families. But that's a special, special time for the church. And so I want you to be sure and get that on your calendar. Make plans to be here and celebrate with us. And we'll be sharing testimonies during that time. And so I want to hear what God's been doing in your life and give you an opportunity to preach that day a little bit. So it's going to be a great, great time that day. So I think that's most of our announcements. Mr. Collins got something he wants to share with you.
I just want to start this time by saying how much I love each and every one of you. It's hard to go through different seasons of life, and you've seen me through seasons that I thought I wouldn't make it through. When I started here, I was just a 20-year-old kid trying to finish up classes in the early part of the day and then staying up here till midnight with Brother Charlie working on homework. You've seen me grow. You've seen me become a minister here that I think is an enviable thing, and it's a wonderful thing that God has blessed me in so many ways here. Today I want to address you as my family, as my brothers and sisters, that this is my last Sunday as your minister of music and pastor to students here at Trinity Baptist Church. After a time of prayer and fasting and rest and consultation, God has made clear to me that the time is right for me to resign, to begin study at seminary as soon as that opportunity provides itself, and to search for a new place of ministry. God's been so good to me, and I have to be faithful in this time. Over the past few months, as I've been writing sermons and looking over things to study for the students, God has made clear to me one very important thing, and that is I need to grow more reliant on Him each and every day. And as many of you have gotten to know me, you know that I'm a planner. I have a calendar that sits about 2 years in advance. Jeannie gets on me every new year how I have to have the following year's calendar the next month. I'm a big planner, and I can't plan this part of my life. I have to trust God in it. I want to tell you a few things that I'm thankful for. First, I'm thankful for the family that I've gained here while being your music minister and youth pastor. You've prayed diligently for me and my family and my friends in many different situations over these past 4.5 years. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith." Second, I'm grateful for the opportunity that I've been given to complete my undergraduate degree here and gain a hands-on experience that frankly, a lot of my friends I've spoken to are jealous of, and it's a really enviable thing for me to have worked with a choir. For those of you that have had in choir and I see those faces out there, you know how much I love you, and I am so grateful for how much you love me. It's just wonderful to have had that experience. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, it says, "For learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding, insightful sayings, prudent instruction and righteousness, justice and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles." Next, I want to thank you for your patience with me. Undoubtedly, over these past years, I've made mistakes, whether they've been forgiven, corrected, or even forgotten. I'm grateful for your patience. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning. A patient spirit is better than a proud spirit." And last, I want to thank you for every good thing that's not listed in my note here. Every good thing comes from God above. And there are so many things that I would like to sit here for the next couple of hours and days just thanking you for. for the opportunities, for the love, for the care, and the opportunity to sing praise to God 52 Sundays a year. That opportunity is not going away for me, and it's not going away for anyone. Wherever we are, whatever we do, we give all the praise and all the glory to God. To my former students and to some students that are here in this room, you know how much I love you. I will be continuing to text these students. I'll be continuing to send them Bible verses and to watch them grow. It's been just a blessing to me to see just the students within this church grow over this time. So thank you very much. Be praying for me as I enter this new season of life, and as I'll be praying for you as you enter this new season as a family of worship. Bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, at this time I come to you, Lord, with my family. Thank you for all that they've given me and all that you've done for me. Bless us as we leave this time of worship and go into our days of everyday worship. For the days like these, the days of overflow, the days where we've had so much worship each and every day of the week that we need a day where we can sing and shout, I thank you for these days. And I thank you that these days for me have been spent at Trinity.
Father God, today we just give you praise. And we thank you for Colin. God, we thank you for his service. And God, having just recently traveled through and continuing to transition in this journey, God, we know that we have a God who knows the tomorrows. And God, I know that those tomorrows are always good. So Father, today I lift him up to you. God, I ask you just to continue to guide him, give him wisdom and discernment through those days. God, today I pray that you would just open the windows of heaven, pour out your love on Colin. God, we'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, stay right here, brother. Come right down here. And we're going to dismiss a little different today. So I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. And I'm just going to ask Cindy and them if they would just play our closing hymn for us today. We won't sing, but they'll just play. And I want you to come by and just let Colin know how much you appreciate him, and let him know that you're going to continue to pray for him, okay? So this morning, you just come by and share with him today, okay? Let's be dismissed in the morning.